We've already seen in our liturgy today that God responds to us in times of trial, trouble, temptation, in times of attack, times of doubt. God will appear to us, God God will meet us and give us the strength or the hope or the joy, whatever we need to move through. There's those lovely instances of God carrying us in those images and references in Scripture. In the path through the teachings of Messiah in Matthew that we've been doing this year, we come to a familiar portion, probably for those that have been grounded in Messiah throughout their life. It's Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 7. It says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened." God is infinitely and deeply connected to our everyday lives. I remember when I was a kid, a youth at some point, I remember telling my parents that, you know what, God gives us common sense. You know, we can make decisions, and, you know, God's not concerned about, you know, those things that we can have wisdom about. And little do I know how arrogant and stupid I sounded. My parents pointed out, actually, we need God every moment. We need His wisdom, our wisdom. Well, what did we read in our liturgy? Many plans are in the heart of a person, but only what the Lord decides will succeed. It's God who builds, God who leads, God who establishes. And I learned a lesson about the closeness, the presence, the intimacy that God desires to have in our life. And in fact, my statement actually represented a mistrust in God. Recognize that if we don't actively seek God for our life, we're not trusting Him. We are, in fact, relying on ourself, which is the very definition of what it means to not be a believer. It is only as we are growing. Okay, so we all have struggles with trust. We all have doubt. I see it not as a in and a out. Either you do or you don't, because we all struggle. But are we moving in that direction? Are we deepening in our willingness to seek God in our lives? This passage of Scripture teaches us that as we are bold in our relationship with God, as we have a reliance on God, that God will respond. Do you note the, in my kind of reading of this passage, I even see that there's a progression in these examples that Messiah gives. Ask. What does it say? Asks, thank you. The ask, seek, and knock. To me, there's a progression. There's a pressing in. There's an increasing intensity in that. You're not just asking, but you're seeking. And then you're knocking on the door. This was expressed to me very richly one time, and I want to tell this story because the individual to whom it relates actually died last weekend, and so it's kind of, in my own way, a memorial to my friend. Many years ago, on the way home from a Messiah conference, it's about a 9-hour drive, there were three other people in my car, and people started, you know, mid-afternoon. We'd have been on the road 6 hours down the Pennsylvania Turnpike, and people started saying, "I'm hungry. We gotta get some dinner." And you know, then of course, trying to, you know, you have four people, and how many dinner opinions is that going to be, right? Trying to decide where we were gonna go, my friend Paul said, "You know what? I'd really like to eat the salad bar at a Ruby Tuesday." I think the one here in town closed years ago, over there across the street from where we used to meet. There's still one in Georgetown. My friend said, "I want the salad bar at Ruby Tuesday." And it's like, I looked at him and I said, "Paul, we're driving down I-70. I have no clue where we're at. How can you, like, name a specific restaurant?" He's going, "I don't know. It's just what I want." I was like, "Okay. You know, like, good luck with that." Do you know what happened? 5 miles later, there's a Ruby Tuesday. And I'm not kidding. The next exit, I was like, "Did you see a billboard or something?" You know, and of course, they don't put billboards unless you're in Missouri, where they have a billboard about every 500 feet. Most places, they've done away with billboards. You only get that when you get up to the exit, right? I was like, did God just drop that Ruby Tuesday there right at that moment? You know, obviously not, right? Did God build that Ruby Tuesday there, you know, how many ever years earlier? It was an amazing experience about God supplying our needs. Okay, we're human. We have to eat, right? God supplied our needs, his desire, in such an amazing, beautiful way. Ask, and it will be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open. Because everyone who knocks will encounter what God has. I want to place this in context. By the way, I want to give three passages of Scripture also in Matthew. Could somebody look at chapter 21, verses 21 and 22? 21. Could someone else take 14, 28 through 31? And a third, chapter 8, verses 7 through 13. I want to set this in context, okay? We've already been told in the last chapter about things that we seek for. Messiah has told a parable about, look at the grass outside. Look how the grass is clothed with flowers. The grass being clothed with flowers. I mean, Yeshua was such a great poet. But he says, but if God takes care of the grass that way, how much more will he cover our needs? He said, you know, the Gentiles, the non-Jews, they pursue, they feel like they have to pursue all these things. Of course, usually involving this deity and this sacrifice and this superstition and, you know, lighting this candle and whatever else superstitions are. Yeshua said, the Gentiles seek all these things, but Yeshua said, God knows your needs. Instead, the people in the kingdom should seek first the kingdom of God. And Yeshua says, all these other things will be added to you. He says, ask and it will be given. Knock, it will be open. Yeshua is reminding us not only of his responsiveness to us, but in context, he's talking about kingdom asking, kingdom knocking, kingdom seeking. Because just a few verses earlier, he had said, seek, using the same language, seek first the kingdom of God. Could I have someone, the chapter 21 passage, please? 21 and 22. Anybody?
And whatever you ask in prayer, trusting, you shall receive.
That's the whole two verses?
Oh, 21 and 22.
Uh-huh. 21 and 22.
Yeshua answered them, amen, I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only will you do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, trusting, you will receive.
You will receive, and this is like really bold. If you think ask and it is given is bold, this is even bolder yet. Chapter 14, please. Yeah, if Lord, you have it, let's... Yeah.
Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and, beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt?
Peter gets a hit with a wet noodle because he doubted. Of course, you know the line, you know, that he was indeed, after all, the only one that actually requested, who asked and sought, hey, Yeshua, can I play? You're walking on water. Can I play too? There was doubt, and Yeshua deals with Shimon's doubt. But there is a seeking and a pressing in to Yeshua. And finally, a third story, who has the chapter 8 passage? Nobody? It says, Yeshua said to him, I'll come and heal him. But the centurion said, Master, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof. But just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I say to this one, go, and he goes, and another, come, and he comes. To my servant, do this, and he does it. Now when Yeshua heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, Amen, I tell you, I have not found anyone even in Israel with such great faith. Moreover, I tell you that many will come from the east and the west, and they will recline with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God. But the sons of the kingdom will be driven out to outer darkness in that place with weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Yeshua said to the centurion, Go, as you have believed, let it be done for you. And the servant was healed at that very hour. There is a responsiveness that God longs to pour out for us, particularly when it is on behalf of his kingdom. Let me tell you a personal story. My first musical lessons were the piano. Shortly thereafter, I had some, believe it or not, accordion lessons. Reflecting back on that, I don't even remember the teacher's name. I just have a really good hunch he was a Jewish guy. Who could it have been besides a Jewish guy playing accordion, right? But oh, well, in the voice of two witnesses, then. I had actually won those. I had entered a raffle to win a bike at the grocery store, and what I won was accordion lessons. Those were my first instruments. But my passion was drums and percussion. From the very beginning, I'd get out mom's pots and pans, and I'd use my Lincoln logs to bang on the pots and pans in the bottom of the Lincoln log can, to the music that my mom would have on the radio. When I was an early adolescent, my parents bought me a drum set. My chief goal in life when I was a teenager was to become a touring musician and drummer. At the same time, though, I wanted to honor God. I remember telling God when I was about 17, 18, maybe in there somewhere, God, you know, I really love music. But God, I want my music to be for you. And that's where it sat. I got to play in orchestra, play percussion. I got to play in a jazz combo. Actually played piano in that one. One of my close friends, a better drummer than I, quite frankly, got the drummer spot. I got the piano. But when I was 21, God dropped literally into my lap a role as a drummer in a traveling, believing music ensemble. And we traveled across the states, especially in the middle part of the country, playing camps and clubs and coffee houses and churches and flatbed trailers in city squares. And it was God gave me my dream. God had answered my prayer. I had said, God, this is my heart, but I only want it to be devoted to you. But it's very interesting, as I look back, God used that for his purpose. Of course, we were a believing group of kids. Very quickly, it was interesting how it went from, hey, dude, listen to this riff, to, wow, we're doing ministry. Especially to the groupies who showed up, you know, twice a week to our rehearsals, and we'd put them to work doing our business, correspondence, doing our newsletters. Those were pre-computer days where you'd cut and paste and go to Kinko's. But I can draw a straight line directly from that experience to my standing here, because God used that experience to say, wow, this isn't just about music, but it's about ministry, which led to, so if I'm interested in ministry, then now what? And the answer was obvious. Well, I have to learn something, so I went to seminary. And of course, you know, it was while in seminary that I discovered Yeshua. My heart was caught for Messianic Judaism and Jewish ministry. And then that's a crazy dream path in itself. So then here I stand today. God, I asked and I knocked and I sought and I desired, but I was willing to say, God, what you want out of this. And God can do the same thing in our lives. God, if it is, God will answer those cries. God will respond as we allow him to guide our life, to shape our call. If God isn't going to answer the prayer, if you can have, some other, if you're married, God's not going to answer the prayer that you can have some other wife, all right? If you're interested in status symbols and cultural icons, God's not going to answer a prayer that you get the new Infiniti coupe, okay? God doesn't operate like that. But I'll tell you what God does. that if you are seeking and asking for something that God can, that is related to your life and your call, that God wants to use in order to achieve His purposes, then by golly, maybe it is an infinity coop. I don't know. But we must recognize that God promises our basic needs. In fact, let's look at the next paragraph, and I'm sorry to break off mid-sentence like that, but it says in verse 9, "For what person among you, when a son asks for bread, would give him a stone? Or what, when he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If then being evil," that's very interesting language, "if being evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your Father in heaven know how to give good gifts to those who ask him?" God knows how to give good gifts to establish his purposes. By the way, the parallel version to this passage in Luke chapter 11 doesn't say God knows how to give good things. He says God knows how to give his Holy Spirit. Again, it's about spirit empowerment for his kingdom. So that's what the good things are here as well. It's empowerment and equipping for God's kingdom. God knows how to give the things that will advance his purpose. God uses us to advance his purpose. Yeshua is encouraging us to ask, to be used to establish God's kingdom. I've shared the story about my dad and his congregation feeding the hungry on a weekly basis. And my dad found out from the truck driver that they could deliver more food on skids if they had an available forklift. And my dad said, "Okay, next week I want you to bring the big truck of more food in the tune of 40,000 pounds. I want you to bring them on skids. Next week we'll have a forklift." And he said it that fast. And you know what? The next week my dad owned a forklift. It's the freakiest thing to see sitting in my parents' garage. Because it was like, with that, see how much more God can be done for the sake of God's kingdom. That was what that passage about taking a mountain and moving a mountain, which really is, in context, isn't all that far-fetched, because that's exactly what King Herod did when he built his palace in Bethlehem. He cut off the top of a mountain and moved it, the dirt, elsewhere and built his palace up on top of a mountain. So Yeshua's, when he's talking about saying to a mountain, move, he's actually quoting contemporary politics. But Messiah can do the same thing in your life about your jobs, about your situation, about your new business, when you offer it and dedicate it to Him. God can do and will do amazing things. If it's for His purposes, He promises us our basic needs. But He's willing to do so much more if it's for His needs. Let me point out, by the way, in this little incident about, you know, who would give, when you ask for bread, who would give a stone? Of course, a stream-washed rock is going to look a whole lot in the same shape as a loaf of bread, right? Or a fish and a snake, you know, they're both round and long, you know. But note even what Yeshua describes here, it's bread and fish. I mean, it's like basic needs. What your father knows how to give good things, like bread and fish, your daily requirements. By the way, didn't Yeshua later provide a meal of bread and fish in the feeding of the 5,000? That's kind of interesting. Yeshua fulfilled his own prophecy here. Later, he makes a meal out of bread and fish. I encourage you to let God do wonders through you. It's not about us. It's through us for him. My dad, another dad story, my dad thought that if they got into the business of selling fireworks for a month leading up to 4th of July, that it would be this extra stream of income for the congregation that he attended. It's drove my mom nuts, is what it's done. But because fireworks are explosives, you have to take a special test, a hazardous materials test, to work. And my dad got a book to study for the test. And he's like, you know, he was coming up to the time to take the exam, and it was like, God, I feel like this idea of doing fireworks is from you. I don't know anything about hazardous materials, you know, chemicals, explosives. He said, God, I need you to guide me in what to study for this test. He said he opened the book to a random page, spent about an hour reading, and you know what? That was exactly what the test was when he went to take the test, were those pages out of the whole book. When God is in it, the mountains will move. It will be obvious that God is in it. It will, and on the other hand, we all know what it feels like when God isn't in it. We can knock all day long, and all we get is sore knuckles. May we know and understand, pursue, and pray, because God's kingdom is built in that very manner. God uses us to ask, seek, and knock. Avinu Shabbat Shemaim, our Father in heaven, thank you that you are that beautiful Father who yearns to give good gifts to us. Lord, may you establish your kingdom in our midst. May you use us to accomplish your purposes. May we have a heart to serve you and then see that out of that, God, you can do wonders. You can provide the strangest things. You can open doors that seemed so closed. You can create beautiful things in our lives. God, we're all here today because really, that's what we want. We want to be your servants. Lord, I pray that you would use Baruch Haba to establish your kingdom and your purposes in Central Kentucky, to be a light to the nations and a revelation to our Jewish people. Lord, I pray that you would open these doors for us to serve your kingdom, and God, that you would give us the boldness to pray for even mighty things. God, if it serves your kingdom, we want to have that kind of bold trust like that centurion had. We want to be willing to even press in like Shimon did when he got out of the boat. Lord, we want to have deep and persistent trust in you. Lord, I pray that you would use us. We tell you that we're willing. Show us the path. Give us the assurance of your presence. And Lord, we will seek to bless and honor you through it. We love you, Abba. Amen.